Welcome back to the Knowledge Base Podcast. I'm Kate, member of the e-learning team here at eMoney and your podcast host. Today I'm back with Josh Belfiore. If you're a frequent listener, you may recognize Josh, as he was our guest on the Decision Center episode. Josh, Group Product Manager, is back for what might be my favorite episode yet, because we are recapping all of the exciting things that happened at eMoney in 2023. Without further ado, let's look back at what we've been up to at eMoney this year. Hey Josh, welcome back to the Knowledge Base Podcast. Some of our listeners may recognize your name and your voice since you were on the Decision Center episode back in September. It's great to have you back. For those of our listeners who may have not heard the Decision Center episode, could you let people know who you are and what you do here at eMoney?
Yeah. Hey, Kate. Thanks for having me back, first of all. I am the group product manager for our advisor experience. And what that means is that I am primarily responsible for developing the future vision for our planning tools. So everything from our advanced planning solution to our foundational planning solution to all the various calculators, et cetera, within our tool. So the vision of those, where we're looking to take them going forward, as well as the more tactical roadmap and the prioritization of the individual features that we build.
Awesome. Thank you. Well, we're going to get right into it since there's just a lot to cover on this episode. Today, we are talking about 2023 and all of the awesome feature releases and exciting things that have occurred here at eMoney throughout the year. It's hard to believe that we're heading into a new calendar year, but I really didn't want to turn a new page before we recognize all that eMoney has accomplished year to date, and all of the new and exciting things we have for our advisors. So, Josh, how many features have released in 2023?
So far this year, I believe the number is 20. We've released 20 individual feature enhancements to our tool. And those enhancements span a couple of categories. So, and this is important for listeners to know, when we make enhancements to our tool, we look to do so across a couple of different value streams in parallel. We are looking to build new reports into Decision Center to make more conversations possible within there. So we've released a number of reports. That's part of that number. That 20 number. We've released new solvers, so we've made the tool more intelligent. A couple of releases there. We've also released a couple of very popular user requests, Roth conversion, beneficiaries on taxable accounts. That's part of the 20 as well. And then a number of kind of flexibility enhancements, but we can get into those a little bit later. So 20 is the number.
That's amazing. A lot of features released, and I know that there have been a lot of hardworking eMoney minds and hearts behind all of these feature releases. You touched a little bit on this. You kind of gave some insight to this, but is there really like a specific method to the madness or science behind the features that are released and when they're released?
So there is a method behind what we do and why we do it. I think this is a really good question. The way we go about determining what features we build, we take in information from a lot of different things in parallel. So the first thing that we're doing is we are stepping back and we are saying, what is the future vision of our entire experience? Where do we want to evolve the tool more thematically? How do we want to evolve it more thematically? This is like saying, we're going to build a giant puzzle and we want that puzzle to have a picture of, I don't know, I'm making this up, a panda bear on it, right? That's what we want the puzzle to be when it's complete. That helps inform when we build individual features exactly where we will put that feature and how we will build it. Because if we didn't start with that big picture and we're instead building each individual puzzle piece and drawing a unique picture on each puzzle piece, when we put it together, it might not make a lot of sense for users. So we always start with that big picture first. And then we start paying attention to other channels from within that. So for example, what are those top user requests that we get? Those things that are causing pain points for users, and how can we start making enhancements on those fronts? We pay attention to the things that drive calls into our customer support representatives, because that gives us good insight into where our users are not kind of fully latching on to how to do something, or we are not making it apparent enough how to do certain things. There's a lot of other channels. Like we have a number of research teams that go out and do research to inform where there are problems or opportunities to make enhancements to our tools. But we take all of those things, and as an internal group, we go through them and we determine which ones fit that future vision we're looking for, which ones represent the biggest opportunities to improve our users' experience. But importantly here, and I think just I didn't say this in my intro, but before I got to eMoney, I was myself a financial advisor. And I know that there are oftentimes instances where an advisor might say, it should be easy enough to do X or to do Y. That is not always the case, though. So one of the important things we overlay atop the different channels of feedback and information we get is what the cost of building a particular feature would be. We do that because that helps us understand what the opportunity cost of building a particular feature is. If we build user request A, that might take many months to build, whereas we could get user requests B, C, and D all done in the same amount of time. And so we look at where and how to structure the work we do to bring the most value to our users while paying attention to a lot of channels of feedback and overlaying the cost of developing each one of those solutions. Really good question, though.
Thank you. Well, really good insight, too, for our users, especially that we are listening to what they have to say. We love to know what they're looking for and what's going to make their business run smoothly and function well overall. So kind of starting at the top of 2023, one of the features that we kicked off with was the fill up tax bracket for Roth conversions and the Roth conversion tax bracket chart in the Decision Center. Can you talk a little bit about this feature and the value it brings not only to the advisor, but the overall planning experience for both the advisor and client?
Yeah, so this was a really big feature for us, a very important one to release. I think, you know, just level setting here, this is a very common planning tactic, something that advisors are frequently doing for their clients. The idea is basically that you're moving money from, for example, an IRA into a Roth IRA, where the client pays taxes up front in exchange for, you know, more favorable tax treatment down the road. And the idea being that you lower your client's lifetime taxes. This is important because it helps free that money for other things like achieving client goals. So in our tool, being able to identify the opportunities to do a Roth conversion, the act of modeling that conversion, those things were not easy to do within our system. And so we released various functionality to support all sides of this process. You named a few. So like, literally being able to spot the opportunities to do one more efficiently than an advisor previously could. That's where the tax bracket chart comes into play. Being able to actually model that Roth conversion more easily. There are two ways that an advisor can do this. The advisor can kind of manually input the conversion amount and over what time period, or the advisor can use what you mentioned, the fill up a given bracket functionality, where you tell the tool the tax bracket that you would like to fill up and not push beyond that. So those are two ways that you can model it. And then we released another chart, the total taxes chart, into Decision Center, which helps, among other reports that we have, it helps advisors understand the benefits of doing that Roth conversion or the lack of benefits in certain circumstances. So a range of functionality here. And the point here, the value that this brings by more directly supporting this common planning tactic, is it helps advisors do the things they're already doing more quickly and more efficiently. Advisors' time is valuable. When you have to spend a long time on something, whereas it could be done in a much shorter amount of time, that's time you cannot spend on other things, like having conversations with your clients. So we need to make all of these planning, these common planning tactics, a lot easier. That's one of the important benefits of this. The other, and this speaks to like the interactive nature of these reports, is it helps the clients themselves, when an advisor is interacting with the client, helps the client themselves be able to visualize why they should be doing this conversion now, paying these taxes now, the benefits that doing so might have on their financial plan overall. And I think the other thing here, this is, you know, we see this oftentimes with the features that we release, is when something is more intuitive, it means advisors then don't need to spend their time on the phone with our CS reps asking how to do something. So even more contributing to the amount of time it takes to do something being compressed. So that is our Roth conversion functionality. We're very proud of it. We know advisors are benefiting tremendously from it. When we go out and when we survey our users to understand, we know that roughly 90% of them are actually saying to us that this has materially impacted their ability to do their jobs more easily, more efficiently. So this is a really important feature.
Well, I can tell you, my brother is a financial advisor, and he personally uses eMoney and made sure to call this feature out specifically. So it has made a world of difference in their financial planning process this year. And I love that you touched on creating or releasing features that are going to help make business more efficient for our advisors, because we'll talk a little bit more about this later, but I just feel like we are always on a mission to really make business both effective and efficient for our advisors. So whatever we can do to help support that is really awesome. So kind of talking about what, continuing this conversation on what our advisors have really loved this year, what are the top three feature releases that you feel were most loved by our advisors this year? And can you talk a little bit about them?
This is definitely a continuation, because a lot of what we've done has contributed to making things more efficient from our users. So just setting aside the Roth conversion, I'll give you three in addition to that, because that one definitely falls into that bucket as well. But the first one that comes to mind is the solvers that we've released into Decision Center. So we now have a couple of Monte Carlo solvers. And a Monte Carlo solver, what we mean by that is simply that the user can indicate the desired probability of success. So an advisor, for example, might be trying to build a plan such that he or she achieves an 80% probability of success. So a user only has to input the desired probability of success, and the tool will give an answer to achieve that desired probability of success. So for example, at what age does my client have to retire in order to achieve an 80% probability success? The tool will give you the answer. We've got a couple of those. Life insurance gap analysis was another one that we released, but these are ones that are really loved. And by the way, we know they're loved because this won an industry award recently, but these help contribute to making an advisor's job more efficient. Every time an advisor has to manually figure out at what age my client can retire in order to hit that desired probability of success, or how much life insurance, manually figure out how much life insurance the client would need in the event of, you know, a worst case scenario, et cetera, et cetera. Anytime an advisor has to manually figure that out, that takes time. So if we can just give them the answer directly instead, that is time that otherwise can be dedicated to other things, like working directly with their clients. First thing is the Monte Carlo solvers. The second, and this was an enormous hit with our users, was the customizable plan summary report. eMoney has for several years now had a plan summary report. And this was among the most used reports that we had in our system. not the top of the list, but among the most used. But the content on that report was fixed. So you could not change what elements of the report show up and which ones don't. So we made an enhancement which allowed the plan summary report to be customizable. So now our users can select from different layouts that they want. They can put different components into different parts of that layout. By component, I just mean something like a chart or a metric. So for example, lifetime portfolio value report, asset spread, Monte Carlo score, etc. So now they can pick the layout, put whatever they want, wherever they want on the report. And the important thing here is it helps them have more tailored narratives with their clients, helping put in front of clients the things that the advisor knows makes the most sense for that client. Our advisors know their clients better than we do. And so our job is to empower them with the flexibility in our features to have the types of conversations they want with their clients. And that is what this particular feature accomplishes. We know that the feedback has really been quite incredible here. Usage data has skyrocketed. When we released this, it became the most, it became the number one most downloaded report, which is quite incredible when you understand that when we first released this, it only went out to about half of our user base. And still it rose to be more popular than even the staples like a balance sheet or net worth statement. So that's a really important release that we made this year. Very proud of the team for their work on that. And then the third one, I'll just a plug for something that we released very recently, which is among the most popular user requests that we get. This is the unified presentation experience. So prior to release of this feature, each of our workspaces had its own presentation. So Decision Center had its own, Goal Planner had its own, the Reports tab had its own, and you could not commingle content between those experiences. If you wanted to build a presentation containing some reports from Goal Planner, some from Decision Center, some from Reports, you couldn't do that. This feature breaks down those walls and allows users to create presentations containing whatever content they want. So again, top user request. We are listening to our users. This is another example of that. And just really meaningful because it helps to reduce the time advisors are otherwise spending trying to compile a presentation, where previously they have to go outside of our tool to kind of manually stitch together that presentation. Now they can just do it within our tool. So really important enhancement.
Definitely. And you touched on three really different features that were released and different enhancements, which I think is great. But all of them, of course, I believe that all of them really add a certain value to the app and to the financial planning experience that eMoney then offers for the advisor and the client. What area of the app experienced the most added features this year? And why do you think that area of the application was such a hot topic for us in 2023?
So the answer is unquestionably Decision Center, which actually ties back to your first question, or how I responded to your first question about starting with that vision in mind, what we're trying to do with the tool. And so the reason why Decision Center got most of the enhancements this year, which, by the way, will likely continue going forward, is because thematically, what we're looking to do is to consolidate lots of content and functionality from various workspaces within the tool and pull that into a singular workspace. So Decision Center, in this case, what that means is all those reports that exists in our reports tab, those 200 plus reports, we'd like to build them inside of Decision Center so that inside of a singular workspace, users have every single thing they need to do their jobs, reducing the need to hop around between different workspaces. Because when you have to hop around to different workspaces to do interrelated tasks, that takes time. That's inefficient. So back to the creating efficiencies for our users, that's one of the ways that we're going about things. And so when we were building a lot of our features, the area that we chose to invest most heavily in was Decision Center, because we could, for example, solve the Roth conversion problem, but do so in a way that fits where we are taking the tool long term. That's why we built that tax bracket chart inside Decision Center, because that's where we're already planning to consolidate tools and functionality. So it just made sense to build it there. That's the workspace that got most of the investment. And that's why, because it just fits the bigger picture that we're talking about here. And there's another reason, actually, just let me emphasize this. When we build content and functionality inside of Decision Center, it becomes interactive. It becomes the type of content that an advisor can explore a hypothetical, anything, and see the impact in real time on what they're looking at. This is most efficiently done within Decision Center. And when we have the planning experience in such a state that it can be used interactively, that means advisors are in a position to pull the client into the planning process and work collaboratively with their client to shape those financial plans. That is much more easily done within Decision Center than it is in any other location. And so that is one of the primary contributors to us investing heavily in Decision Center as well. You know, planning is, because just final point here, planning is, what we are seeing from a trend standpoint, is becoming less about an advisor presenting at a client and more about pulling the client in to be an engaged participant in the process. And so Decision Center is a really important tool for that, well positioned to be able to facilitate those types of engagements.
I love that it's really giving clients a front row seat and contributing to a more interactive financial planning experience for the client, so that they have a better understanding of how their goals are being achieved throughout their financial plan. So that's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that.
That's a really good point you bring up, and exactly why we're doing this. I think when we know that when a client can see firsthand, I love that, the front row seat, when a client can see firsthand why we are recommending, why we, in this case, the advisor is recommending a certain action and can see tangibly why the advisor is recommending that, how it contributes to achieving those goals that the client laid out, there's a trust building factor there. And so I think that's a really good point. I love that front row seat. I'm going to use that.
Absolutely. I once heard that the best advisor is one that has the heart of a teacher. And I have always loved that, because I think there's so much truth to that, especially because the clients are trusting that this advisor knows what the best step is for them, or at least can make several recommendations about some best steps in the financial plan, and then kind of let the client choose based on their goals and things of that nature. But I think that that's so important, is the front row seat allows the client to be able to really learn and understand and not just say, sure, I'll do this, without a good understanding of why they are deciding to do this.
Exactly.
So switching gears slightly, I want to talk about something that I think is just helpful for advisors to really understand. And that is, how does e-money take into account changes in the tax code or law? And how does that impact what we produce for our advisors? I know that we've seen a lot of these changes over the last few years. I mean, reality is we are going to continue to see changes as time goes on. And I think it's helpful for them to understand how e-money takes these changes into account when we produce things and release features.
Yeah, I mean, the first and most important thing to understand is that we view keeping our tool up to date with, for example, tax code changes, we view that as a top priority. We simply cannot have a tool where calculations are inaccurate. So it is a priority for us. And I think these sorts of changes fall into two buckets generally. I think we have, like, on one hand, those sorts of regular recurring updates that we make to our tool, those federal and state tax updates, state to state taxes updates. And we make those on a regular schedule. We know they're coming. We set aside time to be able to make those changes. We've obviously got teams of experts internally who monitor what's going on in order to provide our development teams with the information they need in order to make updates. But then we have those sort of like irregular updates. So those things that are not happening on a routine basis, something like Secure Act 2.0. And we treat these with similar urgency. We know we cannot have inaccurate calculations. And so when we know that there's a change to be made, we assess what the specific changes are, which ones impact our tool or the projections that we make, and then we prioritize those immediately. And I think when it comes, so we are always getting these changes out the door ASAP. They become the priority for us. In terms of impact to the other work that we produce for advisors, I would say that the impact here is quite minimal, only because we have so many development teams that are constantly working through new features for our users, that those focused on making these tax updates, it's a relatively small proportion of our internal team. So it doesn't really grind any other feature development to a halt per se, but we are always very quick to get on top of making these updates. So whether they're the recurring types or whether, you know, something just changed in law where our experts are monitoring it and conveying that something changed, what changed, and then we go and make those updates.
I'm sure that that's a common question when it comes to advisors, just making sure that they're up to date with planning based on laws and regulations and things like that. So very helpful. Earlier in the podcast, we talked a lot about making business both efficient and effective. And I know we've really talked a lot about the idea of just, it should be easy. Like, things should be easy. We want business to be effective and efficient for our advisors. So is there one particular feature that was released this year that you feel helps make business more effective and efficient for our advisors?
I think I'm going to have to go back to the Monte Carlo solvers. I think for the reasons that we talked about, primarily that you can click a button now, get the answer, and not have to actually figure things out manually, which takes time. But I think the other reason why I'm just drawn so much to that type of feature for this type of question is because of what we are looking to evolve that experience into over time. It's going to become a much more powerful part of Decision Center, or solvers, or as we refer to it, our insights area. It will get much more powerful over time, lots more that it will ultimately do for our users, evolving into a really powerful tech partner to our users and highlighting where those things are that an advisor should focus on. So it's going to get better. It's going to continue to save our advisors more and more time, which means they can spend more of that time on relationship management efforts, business development efforts, which they want to be doing because that contributes to growth of their businesses. So I think that's the functionality that I think most contributes to making our users more effective with their jobs.
That is definitely the goal. Okay, we've talked a lot about all of the features that have been released in 2023. How can our users learn more about all that eMoney has released this year?
Well, good question. And thankfully, our marketing team is all over this. And so it's as easy as going into the help menu within the app and searching for what's new with eMoney. And there a user can find access to our full year's worth of release notes, which go through each of the features, what they are, how they impact advisors and their jobs. So it's all right there in the app. You just have to search the help menu for what's new with eMoney. So good question, Kate.
Perfect. Thank you. Yes, and of course, I'm glad that you mentioned the help menu. Lots of resources there in terms of using these features that were released this year. So if advisors have any questions on how to implement different things within the app in relation to these features, they can always access the help menu for more information on them. I want to close this episode on a really fun note. So, Josh, what feature has been your personal favorite to see released into the app this year and why?
Kate, you can't make me choose like that. first of all, I am so proud of all of the enhancements that we've released. I'm so proud of all the teams that did the hard work to bring them all to life. I think one feature in particular that we haven't talked about yet during this podcast, but which is related in some ways to one that we did talk about, the customizable plan summary. The feature that comes to mind for me is multi-view in Decision Center. Before the release of this feature, Decision Center allowed users to view one chart at a time. You could explore different hypotheticals, so by changing techniques and see the impact on, you know, whatever chart you had in context, and then you would switch to a different chart to see the impacts on your client's tax situation or whatever it might be. So you would be modeling changes and then hopping around between different reports. And what MultiView does is it gives our users a way to view multiple charts simultaneously so that you can explore different hypotheticals and see the impacts in real time simultaneously across whatever topics you want. This is kind of the interactive equivalent of that customizable plan summary report, and it's going to become more powerful over time. I think this is the exciting part. It's going to become more powerful over time as we build more and more inside of Decision Center. So as more reports come in, users can create these dashboard-like views containing whatever content they want, and you can explore changes and see the impact on anything at the same time. And what's also really important about this feature is you have the ability to save those dashboards as templates. So you could create a Roth conversion specific template where you have, you know, a couple tax charts and lifetime portfolio value. You could create an estate planning multi-view template or a general purpose overview, et cetera. So this feature in particular offers our users a lot of flexibility in how they do their work. And it helps them to, it helps to cater, I think this is the way to put this, it helps to cater to all the unique planning styles for all of our advisors. Advisors tend to do things in different ways. And so this feature is flexible enough that it can support advisors no matter what their planning style is. So you were right. That's a good way to finish off this podcast, Kate. I like that question.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us today, Josh. And yeah, thank you for sharing about your favorite feature and also about all of the other things that were released into the eMoney application this year. I expect that advisors are leaving this year feeling as though we have released a lot of different features for them to explore and to go into 2024 feeling really inspired about what they do for their clients. So thank you so much. I really appreciate you joining today.
Thanks so much for having me, Kate. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to our 2023 eMoney Recap with Josh Belfiore. As with every episode, but especially this one, I hope you're leaving feeling inspired. And as a reminder, we would love to hear from you. Send us an email at knowledgebasedcontent@emoneyadvisor.com with any podcast comments or questions. Thanks for listening, and thanks for being a part of eMoney Advisor in 2023.